If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
Now, so,
yeah,
you know I don't watch much TV.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to watch, I'll watch something like Bloomberg or whatever, or like maybe CNN.
Yeah, of course. Fun now.
Yeah. And when you watch Bloomberg specifically, they often speak about the yield curve. I don't think 15 or 20 minutes goes by without them mentioning the yield curve, right? And you may wonder, what is the yield curve? Mm. So before we get into that, let me ask you this. If you were to lend money to somebody, what are some of the things that you'd look out for with that person?
If they're able to pay it back, first and foremost, if they're reliable.
That's exactly it. Now, believe it or not, you can actually lend money to governments. An entire government, you can lend them money. And that's called a bond.
Yeah.
A government bond. Mm-hmm. So you buy it, and there's an agreement that they will pay you this much over this long. In the US, the economy is currently having a meltdown. And I thought it would be good for us to have this discussion because it will highlight exactly how much of a meltdown this is and fundamentally why they are in trouble. We're joined by a very good friend of the show's, Kas Tsole. He's a CA, by the way, so these things he understands really, really well. Kaya, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone.
Yeah. So what is a bond market? Maybe let's start there.
Well, in simple terms, governments either raise taxes or they borrow. So when they need to borrow, there has to be a platform in which they can then go out to the market and say, look, we need to raise a particular amount of money. You guys have the cash. In exchange for that cash, we'll give you a piece of paper. And this piece of paper says that we owe you, we're going to pay you interest, and then we're ultimately going to give you your money back. So the platform at which those conversations happen and those transactions happen is indeed the market where these bonds are traded. So we'd call it the bond market.
Okay. And is it fair to say that based on how stable you perceive a government to be, right, then the higher or lower the interest rates will be? Because the interest rates is essentially the cost of the money. So if I go to a government that's very, very strong, the interest rates may not be as high there because a lot of people would be willing to lend the money. Whereas if I go to a government that's very precarious, the interest rate may be super high there because there's very fewer people that are willing to put their money in that market. Is that correct?
Well, in essence, whenever you borrow, whenever you enter into a lending transaction, you have to assess that person's ability to pay you back. So depending on whether you trust them or not, that determines how much you would demand from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the spectrum of lenders, governments are regarded as the safest bet. And the reason governments are the safest bet is not because they have a lot of money, but because they can always go back to their taxpayers to demand money if they need to pay you back. So in the spectrum of those that you can be lending money to, governments are regarded as the safest bet on the basis that ultimately they will find the money somewhere, whether it's through taxation or through other means. Now, because they're the safest bet, then people regard them as less risky than others. So if you're less risky, then obviously the interest that you have to pay is not as high as those that are regarded as more risky. So that's really just the long view of how that question of affordability translates onto risk and the interest. So naturally, the more you trust the government, the safer the government is expected to be, then the less risky that government is. And if the less risky it is, then the lower the interest that it would have to offer people in order for them to buy its bonds. Even though the interest may sound low, people know that they're going to get their money back. So there's still going to be an appetite for people to buy those bonds. Comparatively, if people don't think you'll be able to pay the money back, then they'll demand more in order to hold your bonds. So then your interest rate must be higher. And if you don't offer that high interest rate, nobody's going to buy your bonds. So that's the spectrum of the possibilities that exist out there.
Okay. And so now when we speak about the yield curve, a 10-year yield, right, or a 20-year yield, what is it that we're talking about?
So the type of bonds that then get offered have different maturities. So, well, basically the duration is different. So what a government might say is that, look, we want you to give us your money. And then for the next 10 years, we'll simply pay you the interest. And in 10 years time, we'll give you capital back. So depending on what the government thinks is necessary in order for it to raise the type of cash that it wants and its appetite for paying interest, then they'll say we'll issue a 5-year, a 10-year, or a 20-year. So there's always multiple bonds on the market, multiple bonds in issue at the same time. So what investors then try to do is that they say, look, if people wanted to be able to think about, to figure out what other investors think about this particular government and its ability to pay, then you look at what that curve is. So what that curve simply tries to map out is to say that, look, based on the spectrum of the different permutations relating to this government's ability to pay, and based on what investors think, we think that actually over an extended period of time, this government is good for their money. So therefore, you tend to see some linearity on what that curve looks like. But if there's going to be some spikes in the ability to pay, or maybe people think that, yeah, things might go wrong, then you see spikes in that curve. So if it goes up, it implies that people say, watch out, that government is a bit dodgy. So if you want to borrow money, or if you want to lend money to them, demand more in terms of the interest that they must pay you. So that's sort of like the very simplified version of what that curve tries to communicate.
Yeah. Now, this is where we need to get to the nub of it. Because yesterday, right, in the U.S. trade market, the S&P 500, first of all, lost points again for the fourth consecutive day now in trade, which means people are on a selling spree. Then the yield market, the bond markets, right, I think their interest rates went up by almost 5%. It was 4.46 the last time I looked. I don't know where it ended up closing. Literally in one day's worth of trade. That's crazy. That's something that usually happens in like Argentina or something. You wouldn't expect the strongest economy in the world, the US, to behave in such a manner. Now, that kind of meltdown, what does that point to?
So what we measure then is actually not a percentage change. It's a basis points change, because it's always really small numbers. Yeah. But small numbers over $1 trillion worth of paper, they translate to big numbers. So when people look at the behavior of the current United States government, the one thing that you suspect might happen is that the economy is going to slow down. If an economy is going to slow down, you probably expect that its tax receipts are going to go down. So the ability to generate revenue from taxes, which is what ultimately pays the bonds, is going to go down. So if a government is going to have less tax revenue, they are probably going to not be as strong in their payment profile as they were when you engage with them the day before. That's the first part. Then the second part is that obviously if they're not going to raise enough tax, they're probably going to end up borrowing more money. So suddenly, if they now need to borrow more money, you think of them as saying, well, actually, it's becoming a bit of a new risk profile here. 2-3 days ago, you said you needed so much, we gave it to you. Now it looks like you're going to need more, but also your ability to pay is not as strong as it was because your taxes look like they're not going to be as high. So suddenly it changes your risk profile. So suddenly when people then say, look, if I had to enter this market and if I had to borrow, lend money to this government, would I be able to accept the interest rate of last week? And the answer would be no, I need a bit more. So that's when you then see that particular change that says, wait, hold on, this government has got these particular issues, their ability to pay. It's still there, not as strong as it was last week, not as strong as it was last month because of the possibility of lower tax receipts due to the recession that is being triggered by their own actions. And if there's going to be lower tax receipts, then obviously their ability to pay is probably not going to be as strong. And also more likely, they're going to have to come back to us as the bond market and actually ask for even more money. So you can imagine what happens if somebody owes you money and then they come back and then they say, I promise to pay you, but I actually need more money for you. I need you to lend me more money. You start thinking that maybe actually I do need to increase my interest rate just to cover my risk here.
You know, we don't have much time, but I want to end off with one question which would actually spark another debate altogether, right? The US has now imposed tariffs of 104% to China. China is obviously the second biggest economy currently in the world. And I don't know what they're hoping to achieve, specifically when you consider the fact that majority of technology that the US would need to grow their own economy would come from China. But also, China currently holds a lot of US government bonds. So China does lend the US some money as well. So, yeah, I don't know if there's a way that you can sum that up for us. But this is a story that, for me, I've been watching with bated breath. I've never seen anything like this. Yes, we've seen markets crash in the past, 2008, and then obviously COVID. But this is literally self-imposed. This is one person who woke up and decided to just blow up not only his own country, but the rest of the world as well.
Well, I wouldn't say he woke up and decided to do this. I mean, the earliest interview I could find of him explaining this was in 1987 with Larry King. So since then, Donald Trump has had the idea that a trade must always be in balance. So if I sell you $10, there must be an equal coming in my direction. So it's 10 versus 10. So for him, the idea that some countries sell more to the United States than the United States sells to them makes absolutely no sense. So the idea of tariff is to simply say that whenever there's a gap, I'm going to have to punish you because I assume you must be cheating me. So it is the most binary analysis of economics that we've ever witnessed. But it's also the most dangerous one because people can be allowed to have stupid opinions. Very few of them can then implement them on the biggest economy in the world and also then affect all other economies. So that's the problem that we're facing here. So obviously, the Chinese being one of the great, biggest, participants in the U.S. Trade, they are the ones that are being basically the primary target. So the idea of 104% tariff, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense, but it actually is now what the reality is. So it will come into effect at midnight in the United States. Now, remember, they've got 27 time zones, so we don't even know what time that will be. But what that means is that when Chinese goods arrive in the United States, he basically doubles the price. And then that 104% is the money that the government is going to take. Now, clearly, very few people are going to be able to afford to buy those goods. So those goods are either going to get dumped at the border or China's going to stop sending them. China can only retaliate in two ways. They can either impose tariffs themselves, but that's not desirable because then you create a problem for the Chinese customers. Or alternatively, they could use the fact that they actually hold a lot of these U.S. bonds and simply say, actually, we're dumping all this paper, want our money back. And what that will do is that will create panic on that part of the market because everyone's going to be like, well, if those that have had enough faith in these bonds to hold them for such a long time and in such high volumes are now saying, get rid of this, well, everybody's going to be running for the door. So that is this crisis that might be sparked. But China hasn't decided if that's what they're going to do yet. So the next 24 hours will be telling.
Well, they've already started selling some of their bonds. I think they sold about 50, I'm not quite sure if it's trillion or billion, but I'll have to just double check. Yeah, yesterday they sold off quite a lot. And I'm pretty certain that today they'll do the same. But thank you very much for this. Yeah.
All right.
How, man, it's very difficult to grade how a government is performing, right? But numbers are a very good indication. So if you look at your economy melting down like this in real time, you can then bet that that guy has done a horrible job at it. Horrible.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.